Morning. Get your Bibles this morning and open to John chapter 14. In the 2007 film, The Bucket List, two terminally ill men, played by Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, took a road trip to do things they had always said they would do before they kicked the bucket. How many of us have a bucket list? How many of us want to do things before we die? These two men, in anticipation of the film's release, Nicholson was interviewed for an article in Parade magazine. While reflecting on his personal life, Nicholson said this, "I used to live so freely. The mantra for my generation was be your own man. I always said, hey, you can have whatever rules you want. I'm going to have mine. I'll accept the guilt. I'll pay the check. I'll do the time. I'll choose my own way. That was my philosophy position well into my 50s. As I've gotten older, I've had to adjust. But reality has a way of getting the attention of even Jack Nicholson." Later in an interview, Nicholson adds this, "We all want to go on forever, don't we? We fear the unknown. Everybody goes to the wall, yet nobody knows what's on the other side. That's why we fear death. While a Christian might have some fears about facing the unknown, we don't have to fear and we don't have to share Jack Nicholson's fear of death. Because we know where we're going. We know we have a heavenly home waiting for us.
Amen.
Jesus has promised us a heavenly home that we will share with him for all eternity." John chapter 14, if you'll stand with me, we'll read the first three verses. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given me today. And we pray, God, that it will touch people's hearts and change their lives. Lord, we thank you for those that have come out this morning. We pray for those that could not be here, whether they're sick, whether they don't care, whether they are unconcerned. We pray for those that are not here this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you'll be with me. Fill me with your spirit and help me preach and teach your word in a plain and simple way that everyone can understand. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to break down verse 3 and take a little time to examine every wonderful promise that Jesus made in verse 3. The person. First of all, the person making this promise is none other than Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the one who the Bible says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily." When the Bible refers to Godhead, it is referring to God himself. This verse lets us know that the one who makes this promise is God in every way. He is not partially God, a little lower than God, a semi-God, or anything of that sort. He is fully God and fully man. Jesus Christ is the second member of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That makes up the Trinity of God, and Jesus is fully God. We need to realize that this promise comes from Him. Notice, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, you believe also in me. And notice verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, that I there is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If I go to prepare a place for you, if I go and prepare a place for you, know it is going to be something that the world cannot offer.
Right.
It's going to be something more fabulous than any mansion that we know of here. It's going to be something that is special, that is prepared solely for us. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Everything that is recorded for us in the Bible that has been done by God has involved Jesus Christ. He was involved in the creation and in giving of the law and every other revelation of God. I would say that should be enough to let us know that God can be trusted. Christ can be trusted. If He tells us He's going away and He's coming back to get us, we can be assured that that's going to happen.
Amen.
Too many people today don't believe in Jesus. They don't trust Him. They don't trust the rapture of the church. And you know why? Because the word rapture is nowhere in the Bible. They point that out to you. They'll point out that rapture is nowhere in the Bible. You can't prove to me there's going to be a rapture when it's not in Scripture. No, the word rapture is not in Scripture. But catching away is in the Scripture. Coming back to get you is in the Scripture. And Jesus makes it clear here. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
Amen.
That, my friend, is a promise we can hold on to.
Amen.
That, my friend, is a promise we can all take to the bank. Secondly, we look at the promise. I will come again. At the time Jesus made this promise, He had not yet faced the cross. He had not yet resurrected from the dead or ascended into heaven. In the Old Testament, the promise of the coming Messiah had been given, and Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise. But here, He promises to return again once He has ascended into heaven. Of course, there have always been skeptics, both then and today. Peter addresses them like this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. These people in the book of Peter did not believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection.
Correct.
The Pharisees did, but the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe Jesus was coming back. They didn't trust His word. They didn't trust what He told us in John 14 that He was coming back to get us. But if we have seen, Jesus keeps His promises. If He came the first time, we would be assumed that He would keep His promise to come back and get us again. Jesus made this promise in the Old Testament that the Messiah would be born in a stable, that it would be born to a virgin. That promise was kept. That promise was kept. Why would we not assume that he would keep his promise of coming the second time? Right. He made that promise in the Old Testament that he would come the first time, born of a virgin in a stable, and that he would grow up in this life and he would go to the cross. Why would we not believe that he would keep his second promise, that he would come again and get us in this life? Notice, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Jesus, this promise from him, I will come again. Amen. That's the promise. I will come again and get you. I will come again and receive you unto myself. I will come again. So we don't have to worry about the death. We don't have to worry about anything. The Bible teaches us, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about anything as a Christian. We can trust that Jesus is coming back to get us in the grave. He's coming back to shout, and all of those that are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Listen, my friend, this is, look in 1 Thessalonians 4. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to see what Paul wrote. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look in verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Here we find the word for rapture. Notice what he says. For this we say unto the coming of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That, my friend, lets us know that there's going to be a rapture. That, my friend, lets us know that Jesus' promise in John 14 is true. We, as God's children, don't have to worry about death. Because when we're buried in that ground, when we're cremated, when we're buried in that ground, Jesus is coming back to get us. Those that are asleep, those that have died in Christ, he will raise them first. They'll be raised first. I heard a preacher say one time that the reason that those that are in the grave are going to be raised first is because it's going to take Jesus a little longer to reconstruct the bodies before they get their new bodies. I don't know if that's fact or not. I don't think Jesus is limited by time, or he's going to take him a little longer to do one thing than it is another. But this gives us a sign that the dead in Christ, those that have went on to meet Jesus before we have, if we're still alive at the return of Christ, They will rise first. They will be resurrected first. Then we which are alive, notice what it says. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. This, my friend, is when we're going to get our new glorified bodies. This is when we're going to be made like Jesus. We're going to get a body that will never die, that will never grow old, that will never get sick, that will never age, that will never have any problems any longer. We will have new glorified bodies like Jesus. We can count on Jesus to return, just as he said. And we can be assured that if we are believers in Christ, that when he comes to get us, he is going to take us home. Then thirdly, we look at the people. Go back to John chapter 14. We see in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself." Who is he talking about? Christians. All of those that have trusted him. Oprah's completely wrong. Oprah says there's many ways to God. Oprah says there's many ways to heaven. Let me tell you something. Jesus proclaimed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man come to the Father but by me."
Amen.
And that, my friend, is truth. Just like Jesus promised he's coming again to receive us unto himself, he is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to salvation. He is the only way to peace. He is the only way to eternal life. Jesus is the only way to the spiritual blessings that God has given us. This passage we just read in 1 Thessalonians refers to this. Jesus is coming again specifically to bring us home with him. While Jesus' original promise was to his disciples, we see that this is application is to all who call on the name of the Lord and accept him as their Savior. All you have to do is accept Jesus as Lord of your life.
Amen.
All you have to do is accept the fact that he died for your sins. He hung on the cross, paid your sin debt, and now he wants you to come into a relationship with him. Will you do that today? Will you come to Christ? When we count on Jesus to return, we can count on the fact that he's coming to get us, every single Christian. Listen, the promise is to Christians of every color, of every nation, of every race, and every generation. Just think about it. There's going to come a time when we get to be face to face with Jesus himself.
Amen.
What a glorious time that will be. Think about that. We're going to see the nail-scarred hands. We're going to see the scar in his side. We're going to be face to face with our Savior. Just think about that. Just think about how important that is. Think about how marvelous that's going to be. We're going to get to see Jesus in his glorious body. We're going to see him in all of his glory. Think about that for just a moment in time. Listen. In the same way, in the same small thing, Jesus is coming to get us. Just think about that. This is not some small thing. It is the one thing to read about Jesus, to pray in his name, and to study his word. It is quite another to know that we're going to actually be able to see him and talk to him. We're going to be able to ask him about his life here on earth. We're going to be able to ask him what it was like to wear that crown of thorns. We're going to be able to ask him what it was like to be beaten and scourged into an inch of his life. We're going to be able to ask him all of these things in person, face to face, as Jesus comes to get us. Listen, in the same way that you do with your neighbors and friends, obviously we will be acknowledge him as Lord and worshiping unlike we do with our friends. But the intimate contact we have longed for will finally be a reality when we come face to face with Jesus. The place, go back to verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, where's Jesus now? He's in heaven. That where I am, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to get you to take you where I am. That's a wonderful promise.
Amen.
We're no longer going to be in this world. We're no longer going to be frail and fragile. We're no longer going to be chaotic and have Satan nagging at our heels. We're going to be in heaven. This place, the place that where I am. The Bible tells us that at this time Jesus is in heaven. He is there at the right hand of God waiting to come for us. There are many passages where this truth is shared. Let's look at some of the representations of some of these verses. First, Colossians 3:1 says, if you be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which sitteth Christ on the right hand of God. Then we turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Before Stephen was stoned, he revealed this truth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I saw the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now there's a difference in these two verses I want you to notice. We read in Colossians and Ephesians that Jesus was sitting on the right hand of God. And then Stephen said he was standing at the right hand of God. What's the difference? Why is Jesus sitting in one verse and standing in one verse? I want to tell you. I think this suggests that Jesus was standing in honor of Stephen's martyrdom.
Amen.
That Stephen had died in a state of grace. That Stephen had died for preaching the Word of God.
Right.
I think he was standing in honor of his martyrdom. That is the only explanation that I can find in the Bible. While there may or may not be the case, we do see that Jesus is clearly in heaven today, waiting to bring us home. The purpose. Fifthly, why is the purpose in him coming? Go back to verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's coming back to get us so that we can be where he is at today. He is presently in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. Whether he's sitting or standing, we don't know. I think he's standing up waiting for the Father to say, go get my children. I think he's on the ready as the world we're living in today is so corrupt, I think he's standing saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And God said, hold on. There's one more person I want to be saved. One more person I want those Christians at Ephesus to witness to. One more person I want to come into the grace that all of those Christians at Ephesus have garnered in their own life. There's one more person I want to be saved, and then he will send us. Listen, there you may be also. That is the promise from Jesus. Where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Listen, Christ has given us this problem in verse 3. He's given us the solution in verse 3. He's given us all the promise we need. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, singer Stevie Nicks, known for her work with Fleetwood Mac and her solo work, expresses some interesting views on spirituality. According to an article in Rolling Stone magazine, the 66-year-old singer is certain that spirits reach out and talk to her from the afterlife. There are times when lyrics come to her from nowhere. Nicks explains, as if she's channeling some poet. At times, she feels that her current career is an echo of previous incarnation. I was definitely a performer in another life, she says. Maybe I was in vaudeville or a ballerina. I'm too comfortable on stage. Recently, she began hearing the voice of her mother, who died in 2011. Nikki says this, and I know there's the other side because of my mother. When I hear her answer a question for me, I go like, there is another world. I no longer think there's nothing. There is totally something. My mom is on the other side. We can agree with Stevie Nicks on one thing, and probably on one thing only. There is an afterlife, but her beliefs and those of many others in this day and age are quite contrary to the Bible. Shows like Long Island Medium and other paranormal programs purport to talk about to the dead in clear violation of Scripture. To their disport, their realities of heaven and hell. However, I will tell you this truth. I want you to listen very carefully to me. I want to tell you this truth from my own life. I found since Terry passed away. I've heard her voice call out to me. Just like she was sitting right next to me. I heard her voice some one Sunday morning yell at me like she used to yell at me when she was here. Get up! And I knew it was her voice. I've also experienced her touch. I felt her touching me at different times. On the shoulder. Or places that I didn't know she was there. Now I don't want you to think I can talk to her. Because I don't talk to her. I hear her voice, but I can't talk to her. I'm not like Stevie Nicks. I don't believe in reincarnation. I don't believe that she answers questions from her mother. But I do hear Terry's voice every now and then. It's not every day. It's been several times since she passed away. I hear her voice just like she's sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
My daughter, I want to tell you this story. My daughter was sitting at her kitchen table one night crying and weeping because Terry had passed away. She told me she felt Terry's hand come down and touch her and comfort her. My friend, I believe fully that this is Terry's voice. I believe fully that this is Terry reaching out to us, telling us that she's okay, telling us that she is home with Jesus, telling us that she's able to breathe now and everything's all right. Listen, my friend, I want you to know, while we may not agree with Stevie Nicks, I'm sure I don't believe in reincarnation. Jesus tells us that it is coming for us to take us to heaven so we can be there with him. He is not talking about floating in the clouds or wandering aimlessly through some other dimension. He is talking about living a real life, an eternal life with him in heaven. Go back to John chapter 1. Let not your heart be troubled. What does that tell us? We don't need to let our heart be troubled because we know where we're going. We don't need to let our heart be troubled and fear death because we know where we're going to go when we die. Right. Listen, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now in some translations that says dwelling places. I want to believe it's mansions. I don't think God's going to give us a shack in heaven. I think it's going to be something that we've never ever seen before. I think it's going to be magnificent. I think it's going to be tremendous. Listen, if the walls of that city, think about this, if the walls of that city are going to be 12 foundations and 12 precious stones and different color stones, and the gates are going to be of pearl, what do you think your house is going to look like inside that city? Amen. Is it going to be a shack? Is it going to be a two-room house? I think it's going to be a mansion. I think it's going to be something we've never imagined before. Amen. Listen. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful Savior. Listen, in conclusion, in this series, we've seen very clearly that it is all about Jesus. It is all about Him. He is the one that came to give us eternal life. He is the one that came and died on the cross so that we might be healed. He that shed his blood so that we might be forgiven of our sins. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about him in his ways. It's all about him in his forgiveness. It's all about him in his giving us peace. It's all about him giving us joy in times of trouble. It's all about him giving us a relationship with God. It's all about Jesus. What would we do without Jesus? What would the world look like if he had never came? Thankfully, we don't have to come up with an answer to those questions because he has come to get us in this verse. Notice in verse 3 again. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now I want you to notice something in this verse. Go down and look in verse 4. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Now Thomas the doubter, what does he say? Thomas saith unto the Lord, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, And how can we know the way? Jesus answers very clearly in verse 6. Notice verse 6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way to eternal life. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to get you where you need to be for all eternity. I'm the truth that spoke to you in your heart that brought you to me. I'm the spiritual life that you get when you have a relationship with me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man, notice this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're going to end on that. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus has made it clear. He has offered to every individual the opportunity to have their sins forgiven and spend all eternity in His presence. Have you made that decision for Jesus yet? Are you really ready to accept His promise? Are you ready to forsake your old life and begin a new life with Him? You can do so right here now. He is waiting for you with open arms. Listen, my friend, Jesus made this promise. And this is not a promise to the lost. This is a promise to Christians, to everyone that has given their heart to Him, everyone that has laid down their life and given it to Christ and offered their heart to Him. And all you've got to do is come to the altar and say, God, I'm a sinner. I want you to save me. I know you went to the cross and died for me. And I want you to give me eternal life. Take my sins. Forgive me of those. And bring me into a new relationship with you. That's all you've got to do, my friend. Jesus is waiting for you this morning. Will you come to Him? Will you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given us and this great promise that if you go away, you'll come again and receive us unto yourself. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the promises of the Word of God that give us so much hope, that give us so much strength, and give us the opportunity to tell others about the saving love of Jesus Christ. Help us to be a witness in this world to those that are lost. Help us to share the gospel to those that need it the most, to those that are away from you, those that don't know you as personal Savior. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross. We thank you for shedding your blood. We thank you for taking the nails in your hand and the spears in your ankles. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us and going to do for us in the future. And we thank you for this great promise you've shared with us today. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Amen.